Now's the time for a great deal on a new Honda. It's time to drive smarter with high-tech features and excellent reliability. Check out the Honda Civic, Accord, or HR-V. For a limited time, well-qualified buyers can get a 4.99% APR on a 2025 Civic or a 3.99% APR on a 2025 Accord or HR-V.
See dealer for financing details. Excludes Civic Si and Type R.
Welcome to the Creator Spotlight here on the Spotlight on Fightful. I am Steven Jensen, usually joined by Jeremy Lambert. Jeremy is sick tonight, so he couldn't make it, but I am here and my guest is here today. We are joined by, a man of many names, the biggest man alive since 99. He's a member of KOBK. He's a former TWE champion. We got Big Dave in the house. Dave, how you doing, man? Thanks for joining us.
I'm doing good. That was quite the introduction. I got to get used to being announced as a former TWE champion.
Yes. I mean, if you want to start off there, that's definitely something I wanted to ask you about. You, of course, are a former TWE champion, albeit short-lived, unfortunately, but you did have that title belt. Essentially, what happened was there was a one-night tournament. Darian Bexton, the former champion, had to relinquish the title. There was a one-night tournament. You defeated Aaron Wade and then went on to defeat Shug D all on the same night, won that championship. Your boy Moe's, another member of KOBK, was on commentary. Yeah. Everyone was super hyped up. And then Dylan Hales, who is now aligned with Tim Bosby, came out, Action Champ Tim Bosby, comes out and Bosby lays you out. Dylan makes one final announcement as the matchmaker of TWE. And that one last announcement is, Aaron Wade just gets a title shot right now against Big Dave, who you'd beaten earlier that night. Aaron Wade pins you with one foot. That's it. What was it like winning that tournament, holding that title, and then, of course, the unfortunate aftermath of Aaron Wade, kind of stealing that from you?
I think it would suffice to say that was a night of many emotions. I hate the circumstances under which Darian Bexton had to relinquish the title. He was a true fighting champion. No telling how many defenses. I mean, I was one of them. I stood up there with Darian, and I couldn't get it done against him. So I definitely hate that I won the belt under those circumstances. And like you said, Aaron Wade in the first round, that was a pretty sweet victory for me. I'd had my problems with Wade going into the tournament, him and his little goblin, Cullen, little white belt, yellow belt Cullen he's got running around doing all of his bidding for him. That was a nice moment for me. Being able to do it with the KOBK guys by my side, Cullen handcuffed to Brett, a returning Brett Eisen. That was really cool for me to be able to do. And Shug D, while I don't always respect how he gets it done, he is a guy that I look up to and respect in this business just because of what he's done and where he's been. So being able to step in there and go toe-to-toe with him and actually beat him to win the belt itself, that was like a full circle thing for me in my own head. But then it got real bittersweet and it got real, salt in the wound after that. Dylan Hales came out to present me the title. He's helped me out a ton. I look up to him as almost a second father figure and someone who's led me and really helped me out a ton. Cause I'm only about 3.5 years in now. That's not a ton of time in comparison to a lot of guys, but he's really helped me out a ton. So the fact that, I don't know. I guess the fact that he could take away all my hard work like that. I've had many private conversations with Dylan about how hard I've been working just behind closed doors to try to better myself to, win the big matches when they come around. So for him to come out there at one of the biggest moments of my career and stab the knife right in my back, let his recently aligned star, I'll put that in quotation since he is the star maker, to have him come out there. He tossed me around like a sack of potatoes. I was wore down. I'd already wrestled a whole tournament. So by the time Bosby got out there and he dumped me on my head with that first German, that almost took me a second to register, because 1 second I'm celebrating holding the TWE title, the next second I'm upside down on my head and I'm looking up at Dylan Hales standing over me telling me that, I don't deserve to hold the title that I just won and all of this other stuff. And then when I woke up, Aaron Wade's the TWE champion. That's all a lot to take in for one man in one night. So you know, I haven't stepped foot in the TWE arena since then. So I don't know when I'll be back just because of all that. You know, that's just a lot to get through.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Wide range of emotions, really well articulated though. I mean, thanks for kind of explaining all that. I know.
For sure.
I mean, I know that, you know, Dylan means a lot to a lot of people's careers. I interviewed Tim Bosby like a week or so before he aligned with Dylan. And we talked a little bit about Dylan in that interview. And he was like, yeah, you know, Dylan said some important stuff to me in the ring when I won the Action title, but like he didn't, you know, I had no idea they were about to align the way that they have. And
who would have thought?
Yeah. I mean, it's wild to see. And you, I mean, I know you have a relationship with Negative Lee. So so there's a lot of like full circle stuff coming together here with this. Like,
in
so
how moments always get some kind of whacked with something, tossed upside down. It always happens.
Well, hopefully we see you get some revenge on Aaron Wade at some point in the future, because I know the TWE fans love you, and so do that the New South fans, really everywhere you're at. But those are the two main places that I know you from, TWE and New South.
Oh,
you know, you mentioned Brett Eisen returning that night. I essentially consider him the leader of KOBK. I know those guys. Like, I know Moe's especially well. He's been on the show a lot. And
yeah.
I know those guys from, I used to live in Nashville and I used to go to the Sup Rap shows at the Basement East. So,
yeah.
So I got to see those guys kind of like form the bond that like became KOBK, and, you know, the members who have kind of come and gone, and where you guys are at right now, and you being the newest member of the group. What's that experience like, as far as like, when do you find out that they want you in the group? Like, was there any kind of like feeling out process, initiation? Like, did you find out in front of the crowd along with everyone? Like, how did this kind of go down for you joining KOBK?
Yeah, I found out at the same time as everybody else. I wouldn't really say that there was, I didn't, it, if there was a feeling out or an initiation process, it was not made apparent to me. You know, I've known Moe's for a long time, even before I stepped into the business as a wrestler. I've known Sean Campbell arguably the same amount of time. I mean, he was around New South when I first started breaking in and training and all that, and we formed a bond that's like no other. That's like my little big brother, and I'm his big little. It's a complex dynamic that we have. But no, I've known both of those guys forever. When I was a teenager going to shows in the North Alabama area, I watched guys like Lutha X, and like loved watching guys like Lutha X. Even going to New South shows, seeing Brett Eisen there, like, I love those guys as a fan, and then I got close with Moe's and Sean. So I guess I didn't fully get it at first, you know what I mean? Because I like, you know, seeing KOBK, you're like, man, these guys are so cool, and you could only hope to be that cool. So wanting me to be included, am I also that cool? So I think for maybe a couple of days, it was a little bit of that, just being like, man, am I really like? But then it all kind of clicked, you know. Getting yeah. closer with everybody in who I wasn't as close with, you know, it all started to click. So I'm happy to be a part of it for sure.
It's been cool to see as a fan. And have you guys been like, have you been traveling with those guys since, or like, how does that work out with, where do you live currently?
I currently live about an hour south of Atlanta.
Oh, okay. So, I'm in Sandy Springs. So we're, okay.
Same area.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I'm looking to get in the car more with them. Hopefully hit some of the towns that Heater and Campbell are making together, whatever happens.
Who are some of your influences as far as like how you formulated what Big Dave is and what we see? Like, who are some of your, maybe your favorite wrestlers or some influences for like what you would become?
Okay. I'll go favorite wrestlers might be like a little shocking, because I love Rey Mysterio.
Okay.
I love Rey Mysterio. He was my favorite wrestler as a kid. As far as like who I molded myself more after, so to speak, I watch a ton of like Magnum TA, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Stan Hansen. I've been on a huge Wild Bill Irwin kick recently. Darian Bingston sent me a DM at like 2 or 3 a.m. one night, was like, dude, you need to start watching Wild Bill Irwin, and I was like, okay. So I've been going hard on the Wild Bill Irwin ever since. Outside of the wrestling sphere, I guess I this poster right behind me. I love the big. I love the Big Lebowski. That's just a cool guy. You know what I mean? Hope to be that cool.
I get those vibes from you, by the way. By looking at you and talking to you, it's very Lebowski. I like it.
Hey, happy to hear. I guess I'm gravitating towards something that's resonating with me. You know what I mean? Kenny Powers, like Eastbound and Down. Yeah. Dale Gribble from King of the Hill. Those are just guys that I watch and I'm like, yeah, I see myself in those guys just a tad bit.
That's too funny. I've always liked Mike Judge, but I surprisingly never got into King of the Hill. Like, I was like into Beavis and Butthead as a kid. I love Office Space.
I love my Beavis favorite and Butthead.
Yeah. You know, he's done great stuff. I think he's a very funny guy. But like, yeah. What was the other thing you just mentioned? Not Big Lebowski.
Eastbound and Down.
Eastbound and Down. Kenny Powers. I watched that whole series. The first season of that show is legendary. That's like one of the best first seasons of, and like even the first like few minutes, like how they set the whole thing up. You're just like, you know exactly what this guy is about immediately.
Yeah, off rip, you just know. And see, that's the type of energy that I hope to bring. Like I seconds after I step through the curtain, I feel like everyone can kind of look at me and go, I know what this guy's about.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. And I mean, there's definitely like a look and like a style to what you do and in the ring with your moves and the way you look at everything. Like, why did you, like, did somebody like name you Big Dave? Did you come up with that yourself? The whole like since 99 thing? Is that when you were born? Like, where's all this?
Okay. Since 99 just when I was born. I've been Big and I've been Dave since 99. So it all seemed to fit together.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in New Jersey. T&Cs apply.
Now's the time for a great deal on a new Honda. It's time to drive smarter with high-tech features and excellent reliability. Check out the Honda Civic, Accord, or HR-V. For a limited time, well-qualified buyers can get a 4.99% APR on a 2025 Civic or a 3.99% APR on a 2025 Accord or HR-V.
See dealer for financing details. Excludes Civic Si and Type R.
Pretty well. I didn't get no one really called me Big Dave. That's what they called my granddad. So I was just like, you know, Big Dave. I became Big Dave in a sense. He passed on, so I was named after him. So I adopted the role Big Dave just in my life. So I was like, you know what? Just call me Big Dave.
It works, and the fans love it. The fans get into it. I see the signs in the crowd, the Big Dave signs.
Yeah, that's cool.
yeah. So. The Haas tournament's coming up. That's going to be this weekend. You got Donnie Primetime in the first round. I mentioned this on the show before. Some people get a kick out of this. It pops me, but I'm talking about my brother fairly often in this show because he's not a wrestling fan, but like he watches more wrestling than the average person just by being around me. He watches a lot of indie stuff. It's so funny because like when he saw Joey Janela, he asked me if he was ripping off Donnie Janela because he was familiar with Donnie. And I was like, oh no, it's the other way around. It was like the funniest thing in the world to me.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Don't let Donnie find that out.
Yeah.
Cannot let Donnie Primetime hear this information.
Yes, that'd be pretty funny actually to get a reaction to that. Yeah. Anyway, you're gonna be wrestling him in the first round, and he means a lot to New South. Obviously, you've been a big part of like the recent years of New South yourself, but Donnie Primetime, one of those guys that I think of. Like when I think of the company, like guys like Cabana Man Dan, for instance, people that have been around a long time, been synonymous with that brand. What are you expecting out of this first round matchup with Donnie? And I guess from there, we'll talk a little bit more about maybe some of the other competitors you might run into in the tournament.
For sure. If there's one thing about Donnie Primetime, I know that he's going to empty the clip every single time he goes out there. It doesn't matter if it's the Haas tournament. It doesn't matter what show it's at. He's going to treat it like I treat it. And that's, you know, everything has the implications of a Haas tournament first round match to guys like me and to guys like Donnie, because we're willing to go out there and bleed out and die just to win, no matter the cost. We know that you have to win. I mean, I've wrestled Donnie a bunch. I was fortunate enough. Donnie had a hand in training me down there at New South, along with Cabana Man Dan and Kenzie Page. So it's like going out there like the grasshopper wrestling the master, in a sense. I would never give him the
credit,
the credit, but in a sense it is like that. No telling how many times we've wrestled each other just through the years. Most recently we went 30 minute time limit draw, 10 minute draw, 5 minute sudden death. So, you know, we know a lot about each other. So I'm expecting him to give it everything he's got, but everything he's got ain't enough to get past me.
You mentioned you had trained along with him or under him, as well as Kenzie Page, Commander Mandan. How long ago did you actually train? Because I know I feel like you've been around for a while, but it's only been a few years still, right?
Yeah. So I started training, 3.5 years. So I started training about 4 years ago.
During the pandemic?
Yep. It was during the pandemic. I was local in the area to New South, so I kind of had a leg up on being around people that could facilitate that. During the pandemic, I know some people weren't as fortunate, or like other bigger schools were shutting down because of it, but I was able to break in that way at kind of a downtime in wrestling. Honestly, there wasn't a ton of people running shows just because of state restrictions and all that, but Alabama said none of that. But New South ran a safe show. We made sure that, you know, we did all the proper checking and such, because we didn't want to be implicated in none of that. But, I was fortunate enough to break in that way during the pandemic about 4 years ago, trained for about 6 or 7 months. And then I had my first first match against Kenzie Page in the Golden Ape CrossFit Gym on a New South Academy training show.
Well, what was that first match like, and what's it like seeing Kenzie's success, especially like what she's been doing in the NWA?
Oh, it was intense, you know, no doubt about it. Stepping out there against my trainer and someone as highly as skilled as Kenzie is, and it makes me feel very happy to see someone that trained me going on to have so much success. I'm very happy for real.
Was there anyone else in that training class with you, like other students that are around right now?
He ain't around no more, but he was there. That's negatively, I say. Oh. He ain't around. He just posted a whole bunch of pictures and said he was done with wrestling, but who knows? You know, he's a wily dude. I think that's a false flag. Everyone got real sad and they were like, oh, well, Lee, I think that's a false flag.
Can you go into your relationship with negatively? Because I know you guys were really close, and you've also had you had a bull rope match with him that I remember.
We had to get down and dirty on it. Had to show him what was up. But wow, we were very close. We met literally both of our first days of training. I think it was Haas 2021. It was either Haas 2020 or Haas 2021. Was like I started training that week, and Lee's first show was Haas. So we met that night, and we just started chit-chatting. I really didn't like him at first, because I thought that there's no chance someone says brother that much. I was like, dude, this is not real. This is not a real person. This is a facade. But then I just hung out with him a bunch, and I was like, dude, no, this dude's awesome. And he just says brother a lot. So we broke in together. We hit the roads together very early on. We tagged together under the BDSM umbrella in the land beyond Tom of yesteryear. And then he cracked me upside the head with a steel chair. I feel like that's a tale as old as time. You know what I mean?
Yep.
He couldn't stand to see a young man shining, so to speak.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I'm trying to remember. There was someone I interviewed fairly recently that said that they they were traveling, maybe I think it was before you had started training, or maybe right around that same time, but I can't remember if it was like did you break in with Mad Dog Connolly?
Or I did not, but I was around Mad Dog a lot.
Maybe that was it. It was I'm blanking on who it was. It had to have been one of those New South guys. But anyway, give me your thoughts on Mad Dog Connolly while I'm thinking about him, because you could run into him in the tournament. He's on the same side of the bracket as you at for Haas.
Oh man, gosh, Mad Dog is a scary dude. You know, he's got a very intense energy about him. You know, just in the few times I've just been in his presence in the locker room since, I'm just like, man, this dude is intense, and he wrestles barefoot.
Yeah,
like, come on, dude. I've done that one time. I don't want to ever do that ever again. I don't ever want to wrestle barefoot again. We got psychopaths like Mad Dog Connolly and Cabana Man Dan out here wrestling barefoot, piggies out for the whole world to see all the time.
Yeah, especially with all these dog collar matches he's doing. You think he'd like be stepping on the chain all weird and stuff? Dude, like, it'd be afraid.
That hurts, dude. I did farming in my time. I know chains hurt. You get a toe stuck up in there, snap one of them things off.
Yeah, exactly. Seems very risky, but he seems like the kind of guy who welcomes that risk.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'd love to get in there with Mad Dog. You know, we'd just be two big old dudes just throwing some lumber on one another.
Yeah, oh, I'd love to see that. And you mentioned Cabana Man Dan a few times. You could potentially run into him in the second round of the Haas tournament based on how the brackets are set up. Thoughts on Cabana Man Dan as far as, like, you know, him being one of your trainers and just kind of like what he means, you know, whether it be like to New South or just kind of like indie wrestling in general, because he's been around forever.
Yeah, I love Dan. I love that old dude. He's my little buddy. As I mentioned, as a teenager going to shows in the North Alabama area, Dan's one of those guys. I cried when Dan won Haas. I was in the crowd, and I cried when Cabana Man Dan won Haas. You know what I mean? That's how much Dan meant to me just as a fan. I don't even know him, but just watching and the connection that I felt to Dan, I cried when he won Haas. It's a real shame that if I do see him in the second round that I will knock him out of his last Haas ever. Be you not dismayed. But that just goes to show how much he does mean. As I was a fan, and when he came back and he won Haas, I was in the crowd crying like a baby. Like a little baby, dude. And I told him that, and he holds it over my head now. He loves to bring up when I cried when he won Haas or when he won the title. But he means a lot to New South. He means a lot to this to indie wrestling as a whole, really. I was going to say this scene, but he transcends that. You know, Dan is one of those guys. He's been around for a long time. He's a wealth of knowledge. I was very fortunate to have him as having a hand with me and my training and such. I think it'd be good to get in there with Dan. You know, maybe I'd have to show him that, hey man, there's a new top dog around here.
Also wrestles barefoot, so you know, maybe another there's a psychopath theme here.
Yeah, another psychopath. Now I'm doomed to wrestle someone barefoot somewhere along the lines in this tournament, ain't I?
It's very possible. You could be doing that in the second round against CMD and then potentially the finals, because for those of you who may not know, the Haas tournament finals is elimination four-way match. So it's singles matches and a four-way elimination. So we could get you versus CMD in the second round and then potentially Mad Dog Connolly in the finals. The other person you could potentially run into, well, there's a few other people potentially, you know, obviously, you know, Cheeseburgers in this tournament, Stallion Rogers, yeah. A lot of people that, you know, have been around a long time, have had a lot of clout, you know, in the wrestling world. But someone that you probably see fairly often, especially like in TWE, is Jameson Shook. He's also on this side. Jameson, an up and comer who is, who's making waves quick, doing great everywhere he shows up, whether it be in a tag team or singles. What's your opinion? I saw you kind of getting excited when I brought his name up. What are your thoughts on Jameson Shook?
Oh, I'd love to get in there and tangle up with Jameson Shook. I don't appreciate his attitude around New South. You know what I mean? It's almost like night and day when I see him other places. But in New South, for some reason, he's sour grapes down there. So maybe I'd beat them sour grapes out of him if I ran into Jameson Shook. But no, I love seeing I'm by no means claiming to be, you know, some kind of veteran, so to speak. But for me, seeing guys that broke in after me, even only being about 3.5 years in, I do take a lot of pride in seeing them, you know, make waves, like you said, and just doing cool stuff. So I'm like, man, I love them guys.
Yeah, it's fun to watch. It's a lot of fun to watch from like a fan perspective as well. Just seeing people grow. I love the process of seeing people go from like, you know, like no move set, no gear, no music, you know, and then figuring it out in front of fans. Like I love that whole process. Very cool to see. Speaking of that, a part of that is, you know, figuring out what your finishing move is going to be, and your move, the Spirit of 99. How did you come up with that? Like, why is that your move? And by the way, I like it. I think it fits you very well, and you lay it in there, which I appreciate.
Hey, it's a finishing move, dude. I'm trying to kill him when I cock this arm back. I don't know. I mean, I think I've always had naturally broad shoulders and like long, lanky arms. So I was like, you know what? I figure if I take one of these things and wrap it around someone's head, I think that'd put him down for the count. And once I figured it out, you know, once I started honing it in and started getting it right there in the sweet spot, which is, you know, right in here, I was like, you know what? It's working, so why would I not do it? And then Spirit of 99, I don't know. I was just thinking one day, I was like, that sounds like it could be an old country song. I'm pretty sure I was listening to Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald or something like that. And I was like, you know what? Spirit of 99 sounds like an airplane that crashed carrying, like, some important people.
Yeah. Yeah. I would have never thought that myself, but now that you've mentioned that, I'm going to think about it every time I see you hit that move from now on. So
I'm going to hit it and you're going to go, man, that would make a hell of a country song. Spirit of 99.
Yes.
Then just let your mind wander on what the song sounds like. I feel like it sounds a little different to everybody.
Yes. That's a choose your own adventure type scenario.
The Spirit of 99 are truly the friends we made along the way.
Nice. Speaking of friends that you might want to make along the way, I'll transition that into another question I got for you. New friends you could potentially make. Where are some places that you haven't wrestled yet, some indie promotions that you would like to be performing in?
I'm not generally one of those people who's like, you know, outspoken with like, you know, oh, you know, tag me where you want to see me. And then, you know what I mean? I'm not hating on people that do it, but to me personally, I feel like I would be being disingenuous with myself if I were to put that out into the universe without earning it, so to speak. I'm just looking at really anywhere. To answer your question, any promotion that I've not wrestled at is a promotion that I would like to work with for the first time. You know, I'd love to travel more outside of the Southeast area. I really want to go like out to the West Coast. I've never been there. I've been pretty local to the South my whole entire life, pretty much until I started wrestling. And I've been to New Jersey a couple of times and Texas and Missouri and some places that took me away from Georgia and Alabama, Florida several times. So really, I just want to see more of the country. I just want to go to places I ain't never been.
That's okay. That's totally fine. I completely understand what you're saying too. You know, what about like some goals you have in wrestling? Like what would you eventually like your career to kind of look like, maybe long-term and short-term?
Short-term, I would say just, you know, keep improving every time I'm out there. I don't really focus on, you know, big goals. I do have big goals, but they aren't my leading focus in wrestling. I just want to get better every single time I'm out there. I want to learn something new any chance that I can. I want to travel to do both of those things. I want to travel to get better and learn, and I want to get better and learn so I can travel.
Well, along with that, like, what are maybe some of your, I know it's kind of along the same lines of like, you know, where would you want to work, but like, do you have any, for lack of a better term, like dream matches, like people that you would want to wrestle like in the foreseeable future that you haven't yet, or even like, even like pipe dream, like 5 to 10 years from now, major promotion, like someone you think you'd never be able to wrestle, but like, if you could, you would.
Okay. Yeah, for sure. I'll break it down into two parts because that's kind of how I received it. So like maybe the more attainable ones that I could see happening, I guess, you know, relatively soon if they were an option. I'd love to get in there with Cousin Beef. Beef's a guy that I've loved watching from afar. I'm real cool with Beef. We're pretty close. So getting in there and wrangling it up with him would be cool. I was really pretty fortunate this year to just, like, get a lot of surprise matches that I didn't really think that I would get. I got to wrestle Stallion Rogers and Donovan Dijak. So I was those were things that, like, I didn't even have as options, but they happened, and I was like, dude, how cool is that? Let me think on that just a second, because they're there, but it's one of those, like,
I put you on the spot. I got you.
If I didn't have to think too hard about it, if Derek Neal comes back fine and dandy, I'd love to get back in there with Derek Neal for a round two. Eric Royal, he's a guy that I always enjoyed just watching and being around, so maybe getting to wrestle Eric Royal would be nice. That's really all that's sticking out to me. I feel like
Have you mixed it up with Manders yet?
I have. I wrestled Manders at Duke's Honky Tonk in Indianapolis, Indiana on a KOBK. I want to say it was For the Working Man.
You
I
sure
that
did.
Was the show.
You yep, sure did.
Me and Campbell were on 87 territory. What? Some year, 87 territories.
You sure did. I'm remembering that. Now, I love those KOBK shows. I love how I love how they mix in, like, the no ring, like, y'all just wrestle out on gravel type stuff too. Like, I love it.
Plop that in there for fun. Getting to wrestle Manders was awesome. I love Manders to death. But, like, I see a lot of myself in Manders.
That's why I asked. But that's also I definitely remember the match that you had now that I'm thinking about it. But that's the reason his name came to mind, was like, I see some similarities there where I could see you guys being, like, a cool team, or just having one of those kind of, like, fight forever type feuds with one another, where, like, when you see each other, it's just kind of, like, always on, you know what I mean?
Always on site.
Yeah, exactly. What kind of stuff are you into, like, outside of wrestling?
Oh, outside of wrestling. Oh man, I feel like I'm pretty basic. I like music. I'm a big music guy. I got my little rap dudes up there on my shelf. I got a
Biggie. Is that Notorious B.I.G.? Okay.
I got Biggie. I got the real big Biggie, and then there's some little dudes. I got Tupac and Outkast up there. I like watching, like, older movies. I got the Jaws and the Big Lebowski poster up here, and I got my little Pink Floyd. God, I keep pointing the wrong way because I'm looking at the camera and I'm not just turning around and looking. But no, I love music. I like I like Batman. I love just sitting down and watching Batman, the animated series, or really any kind of Batman stuff. I play the drums a little bit. I'm just trying to think of what I do now. But yeah, no, really just like music and watching stuff. I love playing video games. That's been something that I've done pretty much my whole entire life. I'm a huge gamer. I'm sitting here at my little gaming station right now.
Which games mainly?
I play a ton of, like, sports games, like NBA 2K, Call of Duty, just really stuff like that. I've been getting into this colony sim. Well, I'm not getting into it. I've been heavy into it for a while. This colony sim game called RimWorld. You just got little people and you try to make them survive as long as possible, but the AI will just make crazy stuff happen to them.
Gotcha.
So really just anything I can zone out on. Like, I love franchise modes, like universe mode on WWE 2K, anything where I can, like, long-term do some stuff and really just zone into it.
I was going to ask if you play the like the current WWE games. I got the one from last year, and I had some fun with it, and I'm looking forward to the one this year, too. Looks like they're adding a whole bunch of stuff, too, so...
Oh yeah, I feel like they really turned over a new leaf with the one from last year, and now with all the stuff coming out about the new one, I think they dropped all the DLC packs today finally. And I was like, oh yeah, we're so back. I can see myself spending 36 hours on this week one.
Yeah, it's gonna, all in all, it's gonna wind up probably costing us like over $100 to get, like, the game, all the DLC, the season passes, and all that. But my thing is, like, I know the it's weird how video games have worked in recent years. Either they're becoming way more expensive, but, like, you get, like, a legit, fully made game for, like, a higher price, which, if the game's good, I'm okay with that. Or it's, like, a free game, And then it's like all the freemium or like the add-ons or the battle passes and all this other. So it's like, it's kind of like pick your poison. Like, would you rather have a free game that like might not be as good that you only get to play like part of it, or right. pay more, but you get like an actual fully made game that like you can play for years.
Right.
So I'm interested to see. I mean, I love seeing the DLC. Like I'd pop big seeing Abyss on that list. I did not expect to see Abyss on that.
Yeah, I hope Abyss brings thumbtacks. They add thumbtacks. I have just a few mental stipulations, and they fulfilled two. They fulfilled one of them with New Jack when I saw that he was a teaser. I was like, if New Jack and thumbtacks are in this game, along with like the light tubes and the doors and all that that they added this year, I will order the most expensive version, pre-order, and just get every bit of content that they got. I won't spend no money on VC, but I will give them the real-life currency of $100 and whatever to pre-order that some bitch and have it just loaded with all the game day one release content.
Imagine they add like a scaffold match for New Jack with like...
Oh, see, that's what I'm saying. You give me one tasty tidbit like that, I'm pulling my credit card out and I'm slamming it down on my Xbox.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I think you're.
Oh no, you're good. I was just gonna go in on the. I don't like the reskin games and all that either. Like, I feel like specifically games like, I don't know, NBA. I haven't bought NBA in a couple years because you could just download new rosters if you have an internet connection, and that's really all they do that's different.
Yeah,
but I think that WWE turned over a new leaf really with the last one, and they were just like, you know what, we get it, guys. We've seen your complaints for 5 to 6 years. We're gonna give you what you want.
Well, there was that one year, like a few years ago, where they just didn't even make a game. They were like, last year was such a disaster. We're just going to take a break for a year and figure it out.
And I was one of those people that trusted that game full price. I didn't wait for it to go on sale. I was like, you know what? I'm doubling down with 2K. I see all the bad reviews, but I also saw some reviews that were like, who cares? Just buy the game. And I was like, I'm going to buy the game. I couldn't even play it. Every time I would reverse a move, my game would crash. And I was like, this is the worst thing ever.
Which system do you play on?
I was playing it on I think I was on an Xbox One at the time. I've upgraded to like the Series X since then.
Cool. Yeah. I have a PS5. So that's what I've been playing like the new ones on. But prior to that, like, I think people who were trying to play some of these games on the Switch, like, you couldn't even, like, turn the game on.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, people Switch developers are the true thieves. The people who are putting games like that on the damn Nintendo Switch, and they're like, ha ha ha, they'll pay $60 for this and it won't work.
Yeah, exactly.
That's another thing with NBA. I saw people complaining about the sports games on Switch, and I was like, guys, if you're playing anything outside of like Mario Kart or Pokemon on the Switch, I don't know what you're expecting from that system.
Exactly. That's literally like, I have a Switch as well, and it's mainly because I love Mario Kart, and like that game still holds up, like, and you can still play it online and stuff. So it's like, it's pretty much me buying a system for that. I mean, they have some other obviously good games that I just haven't had the time to sit down and like play through, but I learned my lesson back during the days of the original Wii when I like tried to be innovative, and I had an Xbox 360 or whatever the newest one was at the time. I think it was the 360, but I opted to buy Madden on the Switch or on the Wii because I was like, I just got a Wii, so like I'm gonna try the new sports game on the Wii. And it came with, you know, the use your hands, like you throw the ball with your arm. Dude, and I remember the first time I tried playing it, I whipped back to throw a pass to the quarterback, and the ball flew out of my hand backwards, like 50 yards down the wrong side of the field. And I was like, well, this doesn't work.
Dude, so, I used to love playing Madden 11 on the Wii, the one with Troy Polamalu and Larry Fitzgerald on the cover, because they had this game mode that was supposed to be co-op where one person was controlling the players and like actually playing the game, and the other controller was a cursor that you could use to knock down defenders. So I would hold like the one that could knock down defenders in my armpit, and I would like I would make the pass, quickly drop that remote and use the nunchuck to make the person move, and then I would pop that one out and knock down all the defenders. Dude, I'd be beating people like 450 to nothing.
That's hilarious.
Oh yeah, that was awesome. Once I figured that out, I was like, dude, you don't even have to have a friend to have fun playing this mode. You just have to have great hand-eye coordination.
I saw part of an interview that you did not too long ago with my buddy Ben Bostonuga.
Oh yeah, Bostonuga Ben.
I saw in the corner of your screen, it looked like you had some action figures. Do you collect figures as well?
Buddy, yeah, I've been eyeballing the wall behind you this whole time. I do have a huge, like, it's like an in-the-wall bookshelf, you know, like one of them old school, like, it's like indented into the wall. It's just filled with action figures just across the board. I like collecting little knickknacks. You can see, like, I got my stuff over here on my shelves. I got a little Lego Batman deal over there. I love action figures, like little knickknacks and things that I like. I will spend $10 on a figurine. I love it.
Oh, well, I know all about that. I completely understand how that goes.
I see behind you. I'm like, yes, this is a man of taste.
Oh, it's very it's a problem. And I don't have a very good camera, but it's hard to tell. But everything behind me is signed as well. So these are all nice. I've spent way too much money and time on. I'm not going to sit here and flex on my collection, but that's just one wall. I mean, I'm surrounded by. But the reason I'm bringing all this up is because when I saw that interview with Ben, I'm looking in the corner and I'm like, that's a few rows of figures right there. Like, so I know, like, you had to be a collector.
Oh, yeah. It's like six rows. I've got it broken down. Like, I've got a Mick Foley corner up there, and it's just got, you know, Mankind, Cactus Jack, Dude Love across the board. Then it gets into, like, who is that next thing? Oh, yeah, that's Rey. I got a whole thing of Rey Mysterio. I told you I love Rey Mysterio. I've got pretty much, I think, like, every version of Rey Mysterio that's been released in the past, like, 5 or 6 years, plus a couple of older ones. Because I'm big on, like, if I vividly remember having the fig as a kid, then I want that in the box behind, like, all of the modern figs that I'll open up and, like, put up. I'm like, I want all the ones that I remember from being a kid. I want those to be the ones that I spend a little extra on in the box. And the rest of them, I'll just, like, get them on sale at Target or Walmart. I'm a big old nerd like that. I love those things like that.
I love that. I love when people can, like, justify their collections like that, where it's like, I have my way of doing it. I have my thing where I like to set them up the way that I set them up. I like the stuff that I like. Your thing with, if that's how I remember them, I get them in the box and I get the newer ones loose out in front of them. I love that kind of stuff.
Oh yeah. Like, everyone's got like their own little unique way of how they go about collecting the same thing as everybody else. I think it's real neat.
Yes. And the thing with someone like Rey Mysterio is, like, he has endless figures because he has different masks and gear that, like, there's so many of those.
I just recently stayed at my dad's house after a New South show. Not just recently, but, like, within the past few months. And he handed me a box of all the figs that I had when I was a kid that he, like, found. And, I mean, that was, like, Christmas Day for me. I was going through and looking at, like, all the old Jack specifics where, like, the Rey Mysterio is, like, 11 inches tall because it's not proportionate to anything else.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I know for, like, myself, it's a mix of, like, the stuff that I had as a kid that I needed to, like, either, like if I got rid of it when I was younger, or my parents got rid of it when I was younger or something, I, like, had that itch of getting it back. And then the other thing that's really big for me is if I remember it, and I have a lot of memories of being told no when I was younger, like, no, you can't get that. No, that's too expensive. No. And now it's like, I'm a single guy without kids and expendable income. So I'm just like, if I liked it as a kid and I want it, I'm just like, screw it. I'm just going to buy it. I'm just going to buy it and put it in my collection. So
that's mine.
Yes. There you go. That.
That's kind of similar here where it's just like, you know, I got told no a lot on stuff like this. So I'm going to get my little knickknacks now.
Exactly. We ask everyone on the show the coolest thing in their room. Do you have, like, a favorite figure or, like, a favorite piece of memorabilia that you have, or maybe a couple that you could show?
Oh, the coolest thing in my room. I have a signed Larry Bird jersey, like, above the mantle, like, above my TV. That's probably the coolest thing that I have. Cause I love Larry Bird. I will go back and watch, like, full Boston Celtics games from when Larry Bird played, just that if I find them on YouTube, I'll watch, like, there's this one YouTube video And I tell everyone, if I even mention Larry Bird to someone, I mention this because sometimes when I'm in the gym doing cardio, I just watch the same Larry Bird ultimate trash talking highlight reel video on YouTube. I wish I most of the, if I'm blanking on the channel's page that has it, I most of the time have it ready to go so I can tell people to look it up. It's just like 45 minutes of clips of him talking trash, old NBA legends just being like, here's what Larry Bird said to me, and it made me very sad. Like, I use that to get into like a dog type of mentality.
I know what you're talking about. I've seen some of those interviews with some of those legends who were like,
yeah,
this is the most ruthless guy. The stuff he was saying to us out there, yeah. But he was so good that like people, like he kept people, he could shut people up with his game. So yeah, like he
what
could,
are you supposed to do?
Yeah, that was my dad's guy. Like that was
same.
Yeah.
Same here. And my dad loves the Celtics.
Oh man. Well, Dave, thank you very much for your time tonight. Really appreciate
it. Absolutely.
Conversation. What I know you obviously have the new South. Oh,
a little chicken. We got chicken. She was clawing at my leg, so I was just gonna go ahead and pick her up. We got a little chicken biscuit appearance in here right now.
Oh,
what's up? This is my cat Chicken Biscuit. It's one of the ones that I got to name.
How many cats do you have?
We have four cats. We have Chicken Biscuit. We have Larry, she's named after Larry Bird. And then my partner named our other two Zelda, because they had Zelda before I came around. And then Salem, who is Larry's sister. Very Chicken cool. Biscuit's just a little – she's a menace. That's all she is.
Any
no
other
relation. We have a big old Rottweiler named Remy. She's out back right now. She's just a big old goofball.
Oh, very cool. That all said, this weekend, New South Hoss tournament, we know that's coming up.
All eyes on that. All eyes on the Hoss. I have to fulfill my destiny. I keep losing big time matches at New South. I finally got it done at TWE, no matter how it ended up. So I'm trying to get it done at New South now.
Well, as I mentioned this before we started rolling, but Patrick O'Malley, the referee we had on last week on the show, he chose you to win the entire tournament. Also wanted to hear from you on this show. So I'm glad we were able to make this happen.
Absolutely.
I think based on this conversation, I may have to switch my prediction, full transparency, was Hunter Drake. I know.
Oh,
I know.
You thought he was going to repeat? Come on, man.
He just lost the title. Tyler Franks has it. They have this whole redemption thing that they can do with the Talladega. Here, listen. I might have to officially change my pick to the biggest man alive.
A recency bias, is it? You're not just saying this because we've spent some time with each other now and you feel like you have to say it. Like, you really believe this.
I'm starting to really believe it. I really am. You mean a lot to New South. You've done a great job there in the last few years. You have not won the tournament. Others in this tournament have. I feel like you could do a lot with this tournament win. And I feel like you're a guy who's going to be around New South for a while. So, like, you know, I know I really do think that you could have a great tournament. I very much think you could win this whole thing. I'm not just saying that. I mean, obviously, recency bias because I'm literally speaking to you now.
That's fair.
But anything else coming up that people should know about? And also, please let everyone know, like, where they can find you. We'll put links and everything in the description.
1 week after Hoss, I step into a Retinal Pro Wrestling ring, and I'm wrestling every single member of the Carnies in a gauntlet match. I will be facing Nick Iggy in one-on-one competition. I will be facing, after that, win, lose, or draw, I'm facing Kerry Awful in one-on-one competition. And then after that, win, lose, or draw, it was supposed to be Hunter Drake for the Retinal Heavyweight title, but, you know, Carney's going to Carney. The owner of Retinal Pro Wrestling, the evil, greedy general manager, Maxwell Classic, he has shuffled Hunter Drake away somewhere else for the evening, and I'm going to get in there and I'm going to beat Maxwell up in a match if that's what it takes. I was told I'm going to wrestle three Carnies, and if Maxwell is the third Carney left standing, then I will drag him by his bald head into that ring and I will have a match with him.
There you go. What about like social media, places people can find you, or like merchandise, that kind of stuff?
That was also a part of what you asked. My apologies.
No, you're good. I want to make sure you can plug that stuff if people
have
people.
Let's get to it. I'm trying to do better about being active and such on all these social media platforms. I'm just a simple man from Alabama. I don't know when to post on Instagram for the algorithms, and I didn't know that I could only post 2 minutes and 15 seconds on Twitter, even though my highlight video is 2 minutes and 27 seconds, and then I got to pay $3.99 a month for I don't know all of this stuff. But on Instagram, you can find me at Big Dave PW. On Twitter, you can find me at Big Dave Since 99. On Facebook, I got one of them like pages. And if you like it enough, if enough people like it, and if enough people follow along on Facebook or on Instagram, anywhere in that little metaverse, metasphere, even on my Twitter, I think that this will happen. They will be forced to give me money. And that is what I want. I want these social media apps to have to pay me for tweeting what I'm thinking at 2:12 in the afternoon.
Exactly. Well, there you go.
That's what it's all about.
We'll have links right in the there. Description for everyone.
There's my shameless plug for myself.
Well, we want people to be able to find you. So we'll make sure to put some links in the description so y'all can follow along with Big Dave. Everything he's got coming up. And do you have merch?
I do have merch. I'm working on an online store. This is something I need to do because I had a store Frontier for a long time and that did very well. I loved that store Frontier. One day I could just couldn't log into it anymore and they PayPal'd me all the money that they owed me. And I was like, okay guys, but I would still like to, I would still like a platform to post these damn shirts on. I haven't found anything that was similar to Store Frontier. That was pretty user friendly. You just really click a few buttons and then frame it up on a shirt and then add a description and post it. So I'm looking for something like that. But as of now, I'll have merch on hand at shows that you see me at. You can see me at a lot of places down here in the Southeast, like New South Pro Wrestling in Alabama, Action Wrestling in Georgia, TWE Chattanooga in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Those are like my three mainstays. I make my little voyages elsewhere in my journeys, but those are like the three places that I'm always at.
Yes, sir. Awesome. Well, once again, thank you to Big Dave for joining the show today.
Thank you for having me. This was a fun time.
Yeah, I had a blast. And
me too.
Everyone follow along with Dave, and we'll be right back here on the Spotlight.
Now's the time for a great deal on a new Honda. It's time to take an adventure with rugged capability and commanding style. Check out the Honda Ridgeline, Pilot, or CRV. For a limited time, well-qualified buyers can get a 3.99% APR on a 2025 Pilot, 1.99% APR on a 2025 Ridgeline, or a 2.99% APR on a 2025 CRV.
See dealer for financing details.